There's more to the story with Andrew Radzwitz, the psychic firefighter. He actually studied CE5 with Dr. Stephen Greer and is known for his ability to call in UFOs.
Still to this day, where I live now in Australia, I'm seeing things and I'm continuing to see things. This is a global, worldwide phenomenon.
One appeared while we were doing this interview. We cover a lot of territory. Mediumship abilities. When he was told that he could do it, he started working to improve that skill. Andrew Radzwitz, the psychic firefighter. The sighting he had when he was working in the Coast Guard.
You had a wonderful validation. Other people saw it. Witnesses were there. How did that feel, knowing it was legit? What was that like?
I'm basically a 19-year-old kid. I'm not doing what I'm doing now. I'm just a kid that I really didn't think I wanted to go to college, yet I didn't really want to quite work. You know, I just kind of wanted to be 19, like live and explore and travel. So I'm like, I'll join the Navy. My Uncle John McCrink, who passed away, he was in the Navy at the time. He was on submarines his whole career. And he said to me, he goes, no, you're going to join the Coast Guard. I go, what? I go, I want to join the Navy like you. He goes, no, trust me. Guard is much better. It's a smaller branch. They'll treat you like a family. They'll take care of you. Well, I'm so glad I listened to him because I ended up having the most life-changing and coolest experience ever when I interacted with multiple crafts. So I'm 19 years old. Our patrol area was the Gulf of Mexico, the Caribbean down there. And we would go on missions where it wasn't announced. So you would go and you would not be able to call family. You wouldn't be able to email people and say, hey, right now I'm in Curacao or Mexico. You couldn't tell anyone anything. This was secret. This is when I say top secret or secret. Nobody knew where you were, and you were not allowed to say. So one night, late at night, while I was the lone night watchman, I'm on top of the boat. I am doing a perimeter scan every 10 minutes. You do a scan of the boat with these big, regular, old-school, old-fashioned binoculars, and you have night vision goggles. So you're scanning the perimeter of the boat, looking in the water, in the sky, and if you see anything moving at all, whether it's a plane, boat, or if you don't know what it is, you report it. So I remember looking straight out and just to the left and up. So you're looking straight out on the boat, just to the left and up. I'm looking, and I see these two round silver objects, and at first I'm thinking, they're just satellites. Something to explain this, because I'm 19. I want to be crystal clear here. I am not UFO hunting. I am not CE5, none of that stuff. So I'm just thinking, this has to be explainable. So when I reported down below to the officer on duty what I saw, he came up top and he said, Andrew, we looked on the radar system and there's nothing on the radar screen, which is impossible. Anything that's out there is supposed to be on the radar system. Next thing I know, there's about 20 total sailors that are on top of the boat. Enlisted personnel, officers, we're all talking about this. We're all seeing the object. People are looking through the regular binoculars. People are looking through night vision binoculars. And with my regular naked eyes, I could see these two silver round objects. They looked like they appeared round like a basketball would, like that shape, okay? If they were close up to us, they would have been gigantic. But the distance that they were away, they look like round basketballs exactly where they were. So I'm looking at them, and I'm like, hey, what are they? Nobody knows. No one's saying anything. They're just like, they're not saying anything. They're not saying it to you. They're not saying anything. We're just looking, and I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. They're moving in sync with each other. The two objects are moving. And then after about 10, 15 minutes, it was hard to tell the time. I wasn't looking at my watch. I wasn't asking anyone for a time check. But it was about 10, 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, the two objects came together. And when they came together, they merged as one. And they did not shoot off in any direction. There was no trail. There was no smoke. There was no heat signature. There was no sound. They just were gone. Like, they were there and then poof, gone. But no poof from anything. It was just gone. But we all saw this. So I'm thinking, after this, there's going to be something. There's going to be a debriefing. They're going to bring me in a room. There's going to be, you know, military operations. There's going to be some sort of internal, you know, investigation. Something's going to go on, right? This can't be unreported. This has to go up the chain of command for sure. And after the incident and in the next morning, nobody said anything. So I'm looking as a 19-year-old kid, like, hey, what happened? I'm asking around to other people that had much more experience, much more time, people that had 10, 15, 20 years on a boat out at sea. And they basically said the same thing to me that, you know, Andrew, you're going to see things that you can't explain sometimes unless it's a direct threat or something that happens that, you know, causes an issue or the electronic system goes out or something, you know, a big incident happens. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to make anything out of it. So the mere fact that no one came to me and said, hey, don't talk about this, or no report was given, no nothing happened, to me, it was validated that this thing was legitimate. Because so many times you hear nowadays about these, it seems like these staged incidents. They have a sighting on a craft or a military vessel. They see a craft in the sky or multiple craft in the sky. They claim that the warship or the Navy vessel gets buzzed by this thing. And then all of a sudden you have all these military personnel showing up. They're debriefing everyone. The Navy and the soldiers on the boats are told you would never talk about this. Okay, your life could be lost. You could be put into prison. Yet now, coming forward, sharing their stories because they've been given authorization to do so. To me, that just seems staged because it is. They're being told what to say and when to say it. When I saw what I saw, no one said anything to me. Nothing happened at all. But I know what I saw. And for me personally, that was the beginning of many, many more things to come that validated that incident. At that exact moment, though, I just thought, wow, I'm in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time. But I did not have any resources. I didn't have a support network. I didn't have a CE5 group. I had no one to go to share this with except, you know, 20-something, 70-something guys and girls on my boat. But they've seen things, so I didn't want to just keep going on it and seem like a crackpot. I just saw what I saw, and then basically just went about my job and my life, but that always stuck in the back of my mind, like, wow, what was that? I wonder if anyone else out there has seen something. And luckily, about a year and a half later, I'd heard of a guy named Dr. Stephen Greer, who had a presentation down in Washington, D.C., in May of 2001 at the National Press Club, and he claimed, and he actually had guys with him that were former military service people that had seen and interacted with UFOs, and they said that they were involved with the cover-up of this reality. So I finally, it took me a while, but in 2011, I tracked down Dr. Greer and some of these military witnesses, and I spent a week-long expedition with them. So finally, what I saw and experienced in the late 90s for me was 100% validated when I met other service people as well outside of my boat that said, oh yeah, this stuff's been going on forever. We know about it. And most of the time we just keep people quiet. We just don't even want the story to get out. You know, we try to shut people up, but you know what you saw, you can't change that. I just remember thinking if this was a military exercise, they just put all of us at risk when I was on the boat because you have 72 people, you have two 25-cal machine guns, you have another 50-cal machine gun on the boat, and you have service weapons, 9mm handguns and all sorts of weapons there. And if an object is on the ocean, if a plane is in the sky, if something unknown, if something is not making itself known to us, if it's not identifying itself over the radio, we had the right by law to engage. Meaning, we could have shot at them. That would have been extremely dangerous if that was a military exercise. If we had engaged and took that further, you would have put a lot of lives at risk and anyone else that was out there. So I just remember thinking, I don't think that's us because that would be extremely dangerous. But if it wasn't for the other, you know, couple hundred UFO incidents that I've had after, I might have just said, oh, that's just an isolated thing, whatever. But no, that was just the beginning of many, many more things to come.
I think it's interesting that what that person said to you was, you're going to see things out here. That was a clue.
Absolutely. And that was coming from a guy, I remember, was a cook. And he had over 20 years. And, you know, you cook in the galley, you're inside, you're cooking during the day, but then your time off, you have a lot of time off. So what do you do on a boat? You hang out outside. They're going to sit in the boat all day, maybe if it's raining or the weather's bad. But most of the time, we're all hanging out outside. looking at the sky or just talking, or sometimes people go out for a cigarette late at night. So you sometimes see things, or guys I worked with, gals I worked with, they saw things. Sometimes you're just by yourself and you have no one there. So yeah, you're going to see things. But what was really cool too, is that I didn't see it alone. And there's so many people all over the world that still reach out to me to say, hey, I saw this wild, crazy thing. Maybe I have footage. Maybe I got something on video. Maybe I didn't, but it's the experience and the way they describe it to me and what they saw and the impact that it had on them that, you know, this experience is real. What does it mean? What's it about? That's the thing that still to this day, I'm still on the journey. You know, I don't have all the answers. It's not even close. I'm just still on the journey of this, that still to this day, where I live now in Australia, I'm seeing things and I'm continuing to see things. This is a global, worldwide phenomenon.
The fun thing is that you're able to also post video. Not everybody is able to capture the video. And in some of the videos, I actually saw that it was a background that looked like a figure, a form, a dark shadow of something in that image behind you. Not everyone can get these things. So that's another element that you have. YouTube channel that also shows some of your video.
I'm glad you brought that up, because when I show videos or I record something, when I first got into this and then I started doing CE5, I was taught CE5 in 2011 by Dr. Greer. I spent a week in the desert in California, and I learned how to do this, and I was very, very strict with myself, my protocols, how I did this. I took this very serious, and I was trying to be as careful as I could along the years about who I had around me. Because if you have people around you that are saying, I don't see anything, this is nonsense, this is a waste of time, you're crazy, it's very easy to get discouraged. That's part of the journey. You got to weed those people out, okay? I was very fortunate to have incredible people around me. I stuck to it. Then around 2016, 2017, somebody said to me, hey, dude, you know, these iPhones film pretty good. Why don't you just film something the next time you see something? I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't want to go online. I don't want to be fighting with people on Facebook that I saw this, you saw that. And the reason is, when I pull out my iPhone, when I pull out a night vision camera that I have, an infrared camera, I see an object in the sky with my naked eye. And I'm looking at it, and it's glowing gold. It is beautiful. It's changing color, the purple, the pink, to red, all these colorful things. Sometimes when you pull a camera out, or a night vision or an infrared camera out, when you film it, the color is different. And it looks blurry, and it looks vibrating, and it looks fuzzy, because the craft are alive, are intelligent. They vibrate, they pulsate. And my experience with that is when you actually see them, when they physically manifest, okay, from a thought form, you're thinking about it, you think there's something there, you feel something's there, you start to see the object there, you start to see a being there, they start to take a physical form. And the way that the ETs have expressed to me over the years, what they say to me is, they can only hold their physical, real, true form sometimes for a few seconds because of the toxins and the environment here on planet Earth. Think about it right now. If I was to go to Mars, I would die instantly if I walked around there. I'd need a spacesuit. Well, some of these extraterrestrial beings and angelic and other ones that come here, the vibration, the environment, the toxins here are not suitable for them. So some of them can only come here and appear for a few seconds, and they literally, you can see them when you see them close up, it's like they're buzzing or they're pulsating, they're vibrating. So to even catch a photo of a black fuzzy object or a round object, and it might not be the color that you saw, you're looking through multiple layers of multiple lenses from your iPhone, from an infrared camera. So anyone out there that's starting to film, starting to record these, and you go, wow, what I filmed, what I took a picture of, that's not what I saw, though. It looks different. Just keep at it. Keep doing what you're doing. It's good to get data. It's good to get these things on video. It is not easy to record them. There have been times that I've been out in the field. We've pulled out cameras. We've hit record, and all of a sudden, the batteries die. Connection goes. The Wi-Fi cuts out, and people are like, oh my God, you saw nothing. There's nothing you got. I'm like, I had backup batteries in my pocket, two of them, and everything died. I couldn't record anything, but I had the most amazing experience, right? I mean, you know what I'm talking about,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yep.
the vibrant colors that you can see with your eye. Sometimes CGI actually helps you show what you saw better than what your camera is showing. And that's the tricky part.
I'm glad you brought that up. This is so cool. So I thought, wow, these ETs, some of their, like just even their eye socket, right? Some of them, like we have our eyes, you know, you look inside your eye socket, you're seeing a certain color spectrum. Some of them have a totally different anatomy. So their eyes are different and they can see, you know, you look at some of their heads and go, oh my God, their heads look so big. Why are their brains big? Well, there's more in their brain that they're accessing. And over time, our brains are going to grow and they're going to look like that. Just wait. It's part of evolution. It's coming. And I met an incredible lady named Maureen Sieber. As it turns out now, she's my daughter's godmother. But when I first met this incredible lady from the UFO phenomena, from a UFO group, from some government insiders, wild, crazy thing. But I met this lady and she said to me, she goes, Andrew, do you know the song by Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze? I go, yeah, that's amazing. I love that song. She goes, you know what it's about? I go, oh, he's probably on acid or something. She goes, no. He had synesthesia. I go, what's that? She goes, he's able to see outside of the normal spectrum of colors. And he was talking about the purple haze up inside his brain. He was activating his third eye. I go, oh my God. I go, when I meditate back in California, went up to my group in upstate New York, near East Nassau, New York, run by a Dr. Marilyn Gawak. She's a PhD psychologist, incredible. Head of my group, I'm sitting up there meditating with 20 people in a circle. All of a sudden at night, we're sitting in a silent guided meditation. I could see this purple light emitting. I see it dropping down from the ceiling, going into the center of my head between my two eyes. And then I see it popping back out, these little tiny tic-tac lights. They come back out and they float up into the ceiling. Every day of my life since then, when I start meditating, I start to see this purple light or this purple haze. Sometimes it'll fill up the room. I explain this to Maureen Sieber, and she goes, Andrew, that's synesthesia. She goes, I have it as well. She goes, Andrew, I'm able to see colors that are not inside of the normal spectrum. She goes, I actually made a lipstick and a makeup line, okay, from these colors. They don't exist. People can't see them. She did these with a gigantic, you know, big time. It was like a Revlon or a L'Oreal, one of those giant makeup brands. She has her own makeup line. I think the Kardashians and people like that wear them because these colors don't exist. You would not be able to see them. That is what the ETs see. That is what happens with their craft sometimes. They change into these colors. It's hard to even describe them. They're unbelievable. And the AI shows them perfect. They're unbelievable.
These kinds of experiences, I think, broaden our horizons. You were intuitive as a child. What made you more aware that you had some abilities that maybe everybody else didn't?
I would get a very strong feeling in the morning when I'd wake up, like if I was going to have a good day or a bad day. This is before anything. Like I would not have got on a school bus yet. Nothing would happen. I remember getting up one morning and for some reason I wake up and I'm just like, wow, I could feel this overwhelming sense, okay, that an injury or a slice, something was coming. I'm like, something just isn't adding up. I don't know what's going on. And I got on my bicycle that day and it was my first day of school. And I get on my bicycle just before the bus came, and I'm thinking, I don't know, I got to be real careful. I'm going down the block riding my bike, and I fall off my bike, and I slice my chin open, and I had to go to school the first day with this giant bandage on and 12 stitches in my chin. I'm like, that's crazy. Like, I woke up, and I knew something was going to happen. I didn't know what. It kind of just happened. Then I remember getting this same thing. I'm 5 years old, and I had a best friend pass away. Then it happened again at 13. Same thing, a friend that I was so close with. Someone that I didn't need to say anything to. I could sit in the room with, not playing video games. I could just be in a room across the room from him in opposite sides of the room. We could just look at each other at school and just nod. Not say anything, but we just understood what we were trying to communicate, like telepathy. We weren't calling it that, though, in 1985, in 1993. You know what I mean? We just looked at each other like, hey. And when they both passed away, something shifted for me. A lot of people, you know, people who deal with death, people deal with passing through alcohol, drugs, isolation, anger, you know, unleashing, doing these things. For me, I needed more. I had to know what the heck was going on? I'm like, there's no way we're just here and then gone and I don't ever see them again. And then I started to get some visitations when, after my best friend died at 13, the night he passed away, I remember sleeping on the couch at night, waking up, and I saw his apparition. It was crystal clear. I just saw it sitting there, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I know he's there. I know it's okay. And I remember thinking, who else is seeing? Because I know this isn't just me. I'm not special. It's got to be going on with someone else. The next day, I talked to his mom, and his mom said to me that his apparition, his soul, visited his younger brother. But what was really interesting was the mother didn't tell his baby brother, Joshua, that his brother died. She was too upset. She didn't know what to say. And in the morning, Joshua came down and said, hey, mommy, my brother was in my room last night. I saw him. We were playing. And he told me that he was okay. He was in heaven. He was okay. And he's like, what is he talking about? And the mother had to tell him what happened, but she did not tell him yet that the brother had passed away. So these interesting things were going on that, you know, people talk about this, and then at the end of conversation, I tried to talk to some family members, not all of them, some of them, and some were just literally like, it is what it is, he's gone, that's that, go to a therapist, you know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that. What else do you do with a 13-year-old kid, right? Hey, in the 90s, my parents weren't trying to do the wrong thing, but they didn't know what to do, so that's what my mom did. She sent me to a therapist. And nothing against him, but I was like, I need to go further into this. So what did I do? Around 93, I started to the TV show Unsolved Mysteries. I would watch that with my grandmother Joan in particular, because what I was experiencing as a kid, getting that intuition, getting these feelings, was the day going to be good? Was the day going to be bad? My friends die. I'm getting these feelings. And when my five-year-old friend died, what was interesting was I moved. So I moved already. I was 5 years old. We just moved from Belmore to Flora Park. I'm in Flora Park in Long Island. And I remember getting this feeling. And I'm 5 years old. I'm getting this feeling, this weird feeling, like I miss my friend. I miss my friend Mike. I need to see him. I need to talk to him. I had this bad feeling. Okay. Nobody said anything to me. Nobody said anything. And when you're 5 years old, back in the day, I don't know about now, but there's no Facebook. You're not on the phone calling friends at five, like I wasn't at least. You're just like playing when you caught on the block. So when we moved, I didn't stay in touch, but I always thought about it. And I remember hearing, just like, it was like a year later, like my, like one day, I think my brother said to me, like, you know, he passed away. I was like, what? Like, I had no idea. Nobody told me. And my mom told me later on, I didn't know how to tell you. But I, like I was saying, I had this feeling something bad was going on. But saying that to a relative or somebody, they're not, what are they going to do? They don't know what to do. And one thing that's very important in this too, my mom tells me, now my mom told me something. I was about 35 years old. My mom tells me this. She says, yeah, you know, when you were about 3-4 years old, she said to me one day, you go, Mom, I died already. I went up to heaven. I drowned in the water. I went up to heaven. I saw Jesus. And now I'm back here, though, and you're my new mom. She goes, but Andrew, when you were about 3-4 years old, we weren't going to church. We weren't religious. We weren't talking about that stuff. Nothing like that was around. She goes, and you never brought it up again. You just said it to me. You said it to me. Very straight. And what's interesting, though, my mom didn't tell me this until I was 30, like 35 years old. Why? All of this stuff happens to me, right? I'm trying to sort all this stuff out. I end up getting a regression by a lady named Mary Rodwell. During the regression, which I recorded, I say to her, I go, there's this woman here, okay? She's blue, and she's claiming that she was my mother from a past life. And she's upset because she's stating that I drowned in the water and she couldn't save me. And here in this life, she's showing herself around me. She feels bad about what happened in the past. She's just showing herself around me. As I'm saying this on video, as I'm talking about this to Mary Rodwell, there's a blue apparition behind me. Now, after this happens with Mary, I call my mom and say, hey, Mom. She's like, oh, what have you been up to? What are you doing? I said, actually, it's pretty interesting. I just had this regression with this lady. And she was telling me about something that happened like in a past life. And I didn't explain to my mom what happened yet. Then my mom cuts in and says, yeah, well, talk about like a past life. I don't know. You said to me when you're like 3-4 years old, you drowned in the water. You had another mom, but I'm your new mom. My jaw fell to the ground. I go, oh, Bob, why didn't you tell me this like 10 years ago? Oh my God, this would have put a lot of things together, but just is what it is. It's non-local. It's not a beginning or an end. It's all at once anyway. But at the time, of course, I thought, wow, I wish I would have known this when I was 13. This could have pieced everything together, but my journey would have been different. But now I look back and go, these beings, the ETs, our loved ones, our extended family, they've been trying to communicate with me since the beginning, since day one. It's just all of these filters in life, all of this nonsense out there, all of these people doubting me, telling me, no, you don't have an intuition. No, you're not psychic. No, no one, not anyone could just do this. All of the doubters, all the skeptics, I had a mixed garbled mind like most people do. So I fought this for years.
Andrew Radzwitz, website, thepsychicfirefighter.com. A quick break. The Psychic Firefighter, Andrew Radzwitz.
Right place, right time.
I remember it was like 2017, right around there. I go, okay, it's time. Like, meaning, I'm going to go public. I knew it was time because I had seen over the years through my intuition, through some visions, I knew it would be at this exact moment right now where I'm talking to you and everything's going on in the world where, you know, you turn on Fox or CNN and David Grush or whoever, Tucker Carlson, doesn't matter who, we're all in this together. They're talking about this. But 10 years ago, not the case. I knew it was coming. And I knew in 2017, it's time. I got it. All right, let's go. So I said, all right, let me talk to one guy. And I remember this guy named Michael Harrell had a beautiful YouTube show, and he had on Mary Rodwell, and he had on a really lovely guy, Ray Hernandez, who was an attorney and an experiencer. And I thought, wow, someone that's an attorney, that's a pretty serious thing. I go, all right, maybe I'll talk to this guy, Michael. I just wanted to talk to him. I said, I feel safe talking to him for some reason. So I'm on his show. We're doing a YouTube video. I'm just telling my story, just talking to him normal. On Zoom, we have a video going, and he goes, Andrew, you're turning blue. I go, what? He goes, turn the camera around. So I hit the reverse camera, and I go, okay, I'm not touching anything. I want to be clear. I have a background just because I was an electrician for over 20 years. I'm not a computer guy, though. I'm more of, you know, I'll install lights in your house. So people are like, oh, did you do something to the computer? I could turn a computer on or off, but I don't know how to adjust any crazy thing like that to make that happen. Well, anyway, he goes, Andrew, you know, what's going on? I go, I don't know. He goes, leave the room and come back. Came back, look at it, and I'm going from my normal skin tone to dark blue, darkest blue. I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, all right, just stay with me. He goes, just keep going. So I just ripped away, and I just got into my story. I acted like that wasn't going, you know, like, all right, whatever, that's just going on. And for the next 2 hours, as I'm talking about the phenomenon, my experience is for some reason, I just kept turning blue on and off. Well, after that, we decided to upload the video on Facebook, and then, oh my God, of course, you get the best and the worst. People from the UFO community, well-known researchers, well-known contactees I've never met, never talked to, sending me DMs. What are you doing? You're a hoaxer. You're a fraud. I'm like, oh, talk about welcome. I'm here to help you. I'm like, yeah. I'm not doing anything. Do you realize right now, I'm a New York City firefighter at that time for 12 years. Do you think I want to be putting out a video like this? With my career, I have a very nice life living on the beach in Brooklyn, making 120 grand a year. Why on earth would I put a video online like that? Unless I'm after something and I want to get answers. That doesn't make sense. So, but like I knew, the best and the worst is going to come. Just ride the wave, right? Yeah. And I knew to just stay with it. And then all of a sudden, Mary Rodwell messages me. I need to talk to you. I go, okay, what's up? She goes, I believe that you're activating your junk DNA. I go, all right, what do I do? You know, help me. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going on. I told her everything, my experiences. She's like, wait, you're psychic? I go, yeah. She goes, yeah, how did that happen? I go, well, I go to meet Greer, 2011. I come back. My grandmother dies. And when I was a kid growing up, me and my grandmother made a pact. When she died, I said to her, come through to me. And if you come through, you know, and I know it's you 100%, not like a feather on the ground or a bird dropping a bird feather or coin on the ground. Like, I know it's you, like they show on Unsolved Mysteries. I will tell everyone. But I tell, like, my family. I didn't think I'd be telling the whole world.
Yeah, kind of okay. Happened. Disclaimer.
So, Yeah, exactly. So I meant like, I'll tell everyone I know, like my family. That's it. I'm not thinking, that happens, and then I'm going to leave the fire department, the job I love, amazing, and go and just make, this my life. No. That was not the plan. So I had that happen. My grandmother passes. I met Greer. My grandmother passes. I'm back, and then I met a psychic medium named Robin Hansen, who basically said to me, you have the gift of being a medium. I said, okay, show me. I went to him on the weekend, started training with him, and every person I would sit down with, I would sit, meditate for 5 minutes in like a group setting, and then I'd say to someone I didn't know, I'd go, okay, I see a car going down the block in reverse, it hits a tree, someone loses their left leg, and there's a Z above their head, who's Vinny or Vince? And a girl goes, that's my Uncle Vinny, he's still alive. That's the first time I ever did that, and then every week I'd meet people that I didn't know, no background, nothing, no time or nothing. And for example, I sat with a lady once, and I said, I'm seeing scratching in the door. Okay, I have a young male coming through, and he's crossing the other side. He's telling me that he's responsible for his passing, meaning suicide, or he did something to play a role in his passing directly, and there's a scratching in the door. I see a door, and they're scratching, and he's talking about a monkey. I don't know. A monkey? What's a monkey? The lady's hysterical crying. After she goes, my son did that. He was being bullied. He took his own life. And he scratched in the door going into his room. No more. I used to call him my monkey, and he had like a stuffed animal pet monkey next to his bed. So this is happening, right? Like I said, I'm still a fireman. I'm not a medium. I'm not doing it full time. I'm just going in the firehouse during the week. On the weekends, on my time off, I'm going and I'm training for 3 hours. I'm recording it. I still have the recordings. I saved the recordings from back in the day. I'm recording it. I'm going home. I'm meditating. I am on the mission, okay? Solo. No one around me. No people saying like, oh, do this, do that. Yeah, I've met people along the way. But when no one's looking, doing the things that you need to do that no one wants to do. You know what I'm saying?
Like homework.
The things that suck. Getting up at 5 a.m. Oh, I got to work at 9. Well, you better get up at 5, go to the gym, do your meditation, and then get to work. Just because you got to work don't mean you can't meditate. You got to do the things that no one's doing if you want the results that no one else is getting.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I met Greer and then Robin Hansen because they had different perspectives. Robin Hansen does not believe in the whole most of the UFO thing because he says there's a lot of nonsense. Be real careful. There's life out there, definitely, but they're probably not visiting most people and just be real careful because, that can ruin your life and blah, 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 blah. I totally understand him. Would not get away from the two. I'd be sitting with someone like you or whoever doing a reading, connecting them with their loved ones. And then I'm doing this at night sometimes with people. And as I'm doing it at night outside, crafts start appearing. And then we're filming this. So we're putting all this together. And I'm like, for me personally, it's just me. The UFO phenomena is trying to tell us something. There's many things. But one of the things is, for me personally, when we die, when we're on the other side, our loved ones are in some sort of space where these objects are as well. Because when I call out to my grandmother's soul, hey, Graham, show me a sign. Daylight, nightlight, doesn't matter. Bang, these multicolored lights show up. So for me personally, and hundreds of people I've met, there is definitely some sort of connection between the UFO phenomena and life after death.
I agree.
I'm telling you, I wish I had a camera pointing at the ocean right now, right as I just said that, literally. I'm looking at the ocean doing this interview, and this round orange ball of light just shot across the sky in the broad daylight. I'm telling you, I've had this happen before while I'm being interviewed or talking to people. As I just said that, it just ripped across the sky. There's nothing out there. There's no one out there. I'm looking at it. This happens all the time. So I bet Mary Rodwell, right? She goes, I want to do the regression. And I go, okay, but what do I do? I'm turning blue. Like, what do I do? She goes, you need to find a geneticist or an immunologist. I said, Mary, if I go into my government insurance through the fire department and find an immunologist, I tell him what's really going on, he's going to send me to what we call the farm. That is a rehabilitation center, a psych ward, because this sounds insane. I can't do that. So I don't mind paying out of pocket. I just can't go, I can't do this through work. Like, hey, you know what I mean? I'm just having contact. No.
Yeah.
I need help. Like, who do we know? So I'm looking. Of course, who's going to help you? Nobody. Well, I know a lady named Diana Pasolka. I know a guy named Chris Bledsoe. And I heard of this doctor named Dr. Gary Nolan.
Yeah.
So I reached out to him. Thank God he wrote back. right away. He wrote right back, and he goes, I'll help you. And he goes, I watched the video with Michael Harrell and Boofang. How the F did you do that? I go, I didn't do anything. I didn't. He goes, no, I know you're not faking it. How did you do that? I said, when I talk about this stuff with people, sometimes through the computer, people will go, dude, you're changing color. So what did I do? I went and got another computer. I did that 3 times. I went to Costco 3 times in 3 weeks and got 3 new computers, laptops, exchanged them. And it was not the computer. I got brand new, you know, Microsoft one and an Apple one. They were all doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I was not messing with any of the electronics, nothing like that. I had people like, how do you know? I said, I sent this to Stanford to Gary Nolan, and he talked to me after this. So if this is BS, you'd know, because he'd tell everyone. Trust me.
Oh, yeah.
This is what happened. And a couple hundred other things that happened that I relayed to him the best I could. I told him the truth about things I saw, psychic stuff, meeting people, seeing illness in them that they were not aware of. Then they went to the doctor. People got diagnosed with different illnesses, diseases, cancer, etc. Like I said, I've seen a lot of things over the years, a lot of crazy things. If people go and they can go to the doctor or get it checked out after I read them, do it. I'd rather have you call me and go, hey, dude, you're crazy. That didn't happen. That hasn't happened yet, but I'd rather have someone do that than not get treated, because this stuff is very real. I passed all this along to Gary, and he said, Andrew, what I think is happening is in our brain, there's another brain. We call it the antenna. And it's turned on and off through out-of-body experience, near-death experience, UFO contact, CE5, trauma, big time. He goes, we don't know how it's turned on or off, but I think that you're activating some of your junk DNA and your antenna. You're able to send and receive. So you do CE5, picture an antenna rising up. That's raising the antenna. Or you're outside sometimes and you're like, wow, I feel like there's a craft around. I feel the beings around. I could feel it in my heart, literally. And then, boom, like I was telling you 3 minutes ago at the sky, an orange ball shot across the sky. I could feel it before it happens. It's unbelievable. He goes, that is the receiving part of this. He goes, we don't know why. It's fascinating, and I'd like to study you. Has this been happening in your family? Because we're finding a genetic link. We think this is in families. And I go, yeah, you know what, though? And this is crazy, right? My mom doesn't tell me this from 35 about the, you know, the thing when I was a child. Then, still, it did not at first. Then, I don't know, a year or two later, she goes, yeah, you know, in 1974, I saw an UFO with your Aunt Donna and your Uncle Ronnie. I go, what? Hold on, Mom. Why you don't tell me this? Postcard, told you, you know, things I've seen. She goes, yeah. I go, tell me. She goes, broad daylight, was sitting on Graham's stoop. 23 Maple Avenue, Flora Park, New York. People can look it up. They're sitting on the stoop, just talking, broad daylight. They see a black disc right over the house. They jump in my uncle's Jeep, drive down to the train tracks. You can look this up on the map. They go down the train tracks in the direction of Flora Park Grammar School, where I grew up, where my whole family went to grammar school. They're driving down the train tracks, seeing this black disc gliding, stops over Flora Park School, and it's hovering. And my mom said it's just sitting there hovering above an electrical substation. My mom, Aunt Don, Uncle Randy, they all get there. They all see this thing. They're all looking. They're like, oh, it's unbelievable. And then my mom said, all of a sudden, boom, it just zips away faster than anything she's ever seen. The police showed up. I guess someone called. The police show up. They didn't call. They just jumped in and went after. The police came and they go, oh, it's the government doing some sort of weather testing, you know? Like, they just made up a lie. They didn't know what to say. Like, oh, they have this new experiment they're doing with the weather, and they have these objects out there. It's just a test balloon. They're like, a test balloon? What the heck is that? You know, like, what? They're like, there was not a balloon. It was gigantic. It was round. It was black. It was seamless. I mean, just like you hear when people talk about it, just like I have seen 5 feet from me, silent, seamless, round, intelligent, breathing. The thing looks like it's breathing. Like it's like if someone was sleeping, you look at them in the bed with a cover over them, how when they breathe, it just goes up, down, the breath. That's what the craft look like when you see them. It's like they're alive. They're aware that you're aware. And when that happens, that's when this two-way sending and receiving, when you have that awareness, that's when it happens. When you know they know that you know about them, then you can have this open, what I call like open contact. basically at will. As long as it's safe out, if nothing's going on, nothing crazy, you can have this. So, I relayed all this to Gary Nolan, told him, and he said, Andrew, we want to study you. You know, we're doing like a 7-8 year study on experiences. So this was a couple of years ago, and then we talked back and forth for a while over this. I ended up coming to Australia, but, you know, I didn't lose touch with him and other people. And that was, you know, continued to be this incredible connection with some highly credible people. Okay, once again, why is a doctor even talking about this stuff, right? He could ruin everything.
He's one of the people I admire because of what he's doing, because of the way he approaches this. He gets the evidence. It's not about whether it's happening or not. It's what is happening, period.
Yeah, and I remember saying to him, like, what is it? What are they? Like, from, you know, you have experiences. I know what I'm seeing. I'm not saying what I see is the all end all, but what do you think? And he still, to this day, he'll say, no, I can't tell you for sure. I hear a lot of different things. And that's what's out there. There's a lot of different things, but I know this. Gary Nolan and Kick Green did a study with guys that were in the military that had traumatic brain injuries from interacting with something, UFOs, whatever. Dr. Kick Green was doing MRI scans on them. And at the end of the study, Dr. Kick Green determined that all of the UFOs that all of the military soldiers interacted with, all of those UFOs were man-made UFOs, meaning they're not interacting with extraterrestrials. There are extraterrestrials, and there are people interacting with them. But when there's been injuries, the determination that they had from their study was that basically that's my labs.
I believe that. My own sense is that the UFO element stays away intentionally from military, because when you talk about back engineering, anything that has a military aspect to it is used as a weapon. And in what I have been getting, or what I get, is completely the opposite. It is not intended for war or any kind of hostile activity. And I think that's great to hear that that's what they got from that study.
And I want to be, you know, I want to be clear with you too. This is what's going on. I'm going to drop a bomb here. Okay. Can't handle this, but this is the reality. The work they're doing is great. Dr. Gary Nolan, Kick Green, not easy doing that. They got to do it behind the scenes. They can't talk about it. I know that they were working on creating a drug, okay, that could turn on or off psychic abilities. People's UFO encounters, people are having encounters that are being abducted, or they're having nightmares and these horrible things. Well, some people are really traumatized by this, especially if it's against your will or it's my labs. So I have no problem creating something that would turn that off for someone. I don't want anyone to be tortured by whatever this is. And if it's not good for them and it's good for me, that's fine. Then don't let them have that happen. But also the other side of the coin is, they also, say you get an amazing soldier, right, in the Army, and they're in an advanced stage of the military, right? They're an Army Ranger. They're incredible. Imagine adding a psychic ability to that soldier. So they have everything else, and then you put in that intuition, right, and that, all those psychic abilities, right? That's with somebody that doesn't have it. Then say you have a soldier that does have psychic abilities already and is intuitive, and then you can increase that. So now, you know, you're going into a battlefield. Maybe you could remote view where there's bombs, weapons, soldiers, people being held captive. So even with people's psychic abilities, the direction is, people don't like me talking about this, too bad. It's probably done already, but I know they want to weaponize people's psychic abilities, whether it's in the form of a drug or an injection or a frequency. If they could take someone's DNA or genetics and share that with someone for the purpose of, like we talked about, military, you know, for military purposes, or, you know, something to do with war, I don't want anything to do with that. This is a gift, okay? You have to, realize that. You tune into that. But I don't think it should be given to people to harm one another. That's where I would draw the line. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want my DNA being spliced in or put into a drug or something crazy given to some soldier or to someone to turn on psychic abilities, because this, what I'm doing, what I'm going through, what I've experienced, this is not for everyone, okay? And not everyone has a great reaction to this. So some people lose it when this happens. So I think this is something that you have to want to do. And when it happens organically, like Dr. Greer told me, you know, don't take ayahuasca, don't trip on acid. Sit in a meditative state and watch these layers unfold naturally. For me, I can say that's definitely the route to go. You want this thing to unfold organically. So when you add in chemicals and drugs and all that, and you get involved with the military, I know, I'm telling you for a fact, I know that the government and even high levels, they are very intrigued by people that are psychic experiences, and they would love to weaponize this gift. And that to me, I won't stand for that. I don't want anything to do with that.
I think that's been done. It's already been being, I mean, and it's continuing to be, I think, experimented with. And if you, you know, read any of the stuff from Russia or from China or, you know, some of the other countries who have been dabbling, and then some of that information gets out, this is, I think, ultimately with a military, it's always the angle of weaponization. And, you know, you're not going to get away from that. But the deal is, if we go a different direction, those who have these abilities and continue to connect with the other extra intradimensionals, we're going to go a different route anyway, no matter what they do in terms of making it a military weapon. This continues to progress, and that's what is fascinating. What have you, I mean, now you work with people and you do readings, but the continuing angle is that this stuff, just like you were talking about earlier, that orange orb, this stuff is engaging you. What do you think is the purpose?
I remember asking, like, same thing, like, what's going on with this? Will this go further? What am I supposed to do? As I've seen visions over the years, getting these validations, once again, for me, everything now is a synchronicity. Whereas in the past, it was just like, oh, that must be the synchronicity. Oh, that must be just random things. Seeing these validations over and over, just continuing for me to stay in this path, continuing to share this story and to get this out to the most amount of people that I can. My conversation with this 10 years ago, 5 years ago, completely different today. The people that are interested in this would not have even gone there 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But we're getting to this point where we're going to have this, I want to say, open type contact. Not that the crap is going to land, the beans are going to get off, but it's going to be, I want to say, accepted, okay, that people are doing this. People wouldn't be talking about this years ago. Now they can. Now my mom will talk about it. You know what I mean? People that are out there, people that are normal, regular. And even if you have these abilities, doesn't mean you have to become a psychic or have a, you know, your own mediumship business or whatever you want to do. You could continue to just do what you do, but use this to help guide you. When I first moved to Australia, I worked in a funeral home as a funeral director and an embalmer for about 4 years. And I just continued to work, but I used all of those abilities at work. Yes, I did have some communication with the dead, literally, that I was taking care of. For example, they would express to me the method that they passed, health things that they had, health effects on the inside. And while we were prepared, then we were able to validate these things and see on the inside what was going on to further validate the reality of this. I think for me personally, being that I worked normal jobs, went through the normal thing, you know, I didn't realize day one, oh, I have this ability, I'm going to quit my day job and I'm psychic now. I could have done that. But for me, I really like staying and talking with people and just continuing to work and staying in society, you know, like I'm still on the journey. I don't have all the answers. I'm not doing stadium tours. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. When time comes and things happen, you do what you got to do. But for right now with what I'm doing, I like what I'm doing because it's just me. I don't have to answer to anyone. I continue to tell my story. It's not someone else's. So I'm asking, you know, what's going on, where you're at. I just had something happen. I was just contacted, I'm going to tell you a true story, by Channel 10 here in Australia. They have a TV show called The Project. A girl goes into a UFO C5 Facebook chat group in Victoria, Australia. Hi, I work at The Project, and we're looking for some experiences. Can you help us do C5? We're going to show it on TV in a clip. So, the message is me. I go, yeah, I'd love to show someone. No problem. You're here with the right intention. I'll show you whatever you'd like to know. No problem. No problem at all. Just as long as you do the right thing. You know, you're not going to make this a mockery or anything. No. I'm an experiencer. Dr. Greer, blah, 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 blah. Okay, you got it. A couple days later, they get back to me and they go, yeah, we're having a host for the night. and they tell me his name, Sam Towton. I look the guy up. He's a professional comedian. I respond to the lady. I go, I can't do this. This is a conflict of interest. I was being very professional. I told the other people involved, I go, do not do this. Shut up. They're going to get you on film, and then they're going to make fun of you. So the girl I tell, don't do this. Do not do this. Wait. I said, I'll do something like this with you, but not with Channel 10. Let's do it on our own. Something on social media. We can do whatever we want. Make it look right. She goes ahead. People go ahead and do it. And they put it out. It's a 4-minute clip, and there's laughing nonstop the whole clip. And then they just came out with a second clip the other night about, you know, UFO contact and disclosure. And is there proof? Basically stating that there's zero proof and the people that are into this are crazy. I livid, because the poor people that went that didn't know any better, that just thought, oh, they told me, they promised. When I said to the lady, you're going to do the right thing. And she goes, oh, yeah, don't worry. Sam's great. They're going to make it look great. You're going to look great, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that doesn't fit this guy's narrative. He's a comedian. Why would he make this look serious? That doesn't sound right. And sure enough, the guy made a mockery and still does. So he would have, you know, possibly ruined some of, you know, what I believe in and what I'm trying to share with people. So waiting, taking your time, seeing this ball in the sky, these are all validations just for me personally to keep at this. So I see a certain sign, I see certain synchronicities when to stay on the path. And then I see other synchronicities when to not, when to say, whoa, we gotta get off course.
Yeah.
So go with that feeling, go with that intuition. But I'm getting these visuals as well. So yeah, it's for me right now. I'm continuing to share this, and I've written a book. I've done some things that I'm patiently doing, because when they come out on the other side, like the TV show I did, it is worth the wait, because once people see it, there's no taking it back.
The one you have, it's on your website, The Close Encounters Down Under. That's an excellent clip, because that basically explains it in a nutshell for anyone who wants to find out more. That was very well done.
Yeah, so through social media, my kids are on TikTok. They're like, Andrew, oh my God, you got to put your videos on TikTok. Everyone will love them. I go, really? Isn't that like a dancing app? But all right, whatever. So I put my videos up like I have everywhere, right? And again, you get the best and the worst. Some lovely experience. It goes, hey, man, we're doing a TV show. Would you mind if we look at your footage at MUFON? Yes. I said, go ahead. I know it's real, but do whatever you got to do. They wrote right back to me. They go, we want to talk to you, interview you. We took time. This was a 9-month process. This is how it's supposed to be. You wait. You do interviews. You give them all the footage. They scan everything. They analyze it. And everything they put in there is 100% the real thing. The guy at MUFON's amazing, Roger Stankovich, PhD, been in this field, you know, over 20 years doing this stuff. And they took the best of the best, put it together. I was very happy with what they did. You know, they looked into the UFO side of this, obviously with psychic stuff. That's a whole nother thing. I'll just let you know, too, they are doing a season 2. And it's amazing. Yes, I will be gladly part of that. The rumblings I've heard, just to give a little sneak peek, and this would be great, and I'm so open to it. But season 2, I've heard rumblings of possibly coming to my home with everyone, with the whole film crew, and doing a C5 right here. Bring it on. So whatever you got, people out there that got footage, as long as, you know, if you're into film or you want to record something, as long as you do the right thing, and that's in writing, like I've learned, someone says, oh, don't worry, I'll take care of it. No, you need a contract, you need a lawyer to look that over, because just like Travis Walton and other people out there, people have made movies, then Hollywood does what they want, and then it looks like a War of the Worlds doomsday scenario, and now you got to go into hiding like Travis for 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have that happen. I do the best I can. I have reps that help me with that side of it, because I just don't trust anyone enough that I don't know. I got to make sure, because once they run an article, I was in the newspaper, you know, once they run an article or they run something in the media, there's no taking it back. So whatever they put in there, you're going to be known by that forever.
When you have a wrong title, a wrong lead, a wrong headline, the correction isn't on the front page. They bury it. Okay. So the correction is like an afterthought, and oh, well, too bad. So sad. That's frustrating. And that's the media.
Yeah. And July 4th, 2018, I'm sitting on the beach with my fiance, Jess, who's my wife now from Australia. Me, her, Montana, Orlando, our two kids at the time, were sitting on the beach chilling. I get a text, a DM in Facebook from a girl, and she goes, I'm running an article about you tomorrow in the New York Post. I want to get a comment. I'm like, what? I don't even know who this person is. Never heard of them. So I call Ray Hernandez, the attorney. I go, Ray, what do I do? He goes, no comment. Don't give a comment. We don't even know what they're running. What? Ask her what she's writing. So I write back to her and go, biggest paper out there, New York Post, page six, Sunday. You're writing an article about me, and I don't even know what you're writing. She goes, oh, it's about your experiences. I go, that's a little generic. You tell me what? Like, what side of this? Because, yeah, once again, depending on how you talk about this, depending on what you're sharing, you're talking about me turning blue, I'm going to the psych ward. At the time, this is no joke, okay? So I go, well, I want to see what you wrote, then I can comment. I go, how do you expect me to give you a comment? You're running an article tomorrow. You want me to give you a comment right now? You haven't even shown me what you've written. I can't. No, I refuse. Then I had to call the New York City Fire Department press desk. That's it. It was out of the bag. And I went up the whole chain of command. Now, keep in mind, third generation firefighter. My dad did 27 years. My uncle did 27 years before him. This is a big deal to now end up in the newspaper about all of this. I don't even know what they're going to write. So I told the fire department, as response, we have no problem with what you're doing. Actually, you're doing a great thing. You're helping people in your days off. You're helping them get closure. We need more firefighters like you. But we don't understand why the Post would run an article when you said to them, please don't run that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want to be in the paper. And they're doing it anyway. So there's an ulterior motive. We'll take care of this. So that was amazing to know that they had my back. They wrote to the Post and took 4 weeks. Article, but in that 2 weeks, I'm sure they edited it. I'm sure they went through a fine comb. Maureen Seedberg, I told Maureen, called the head editor over there and said, you better put nothing funny in there. I know this guy. You know, he's a good guy. He's got a good heart. Don't do anything. Just stick with the facts, okay? You know, he's got a family and blah, blah, blah. Because you don't know what's going to be in there. And I would say after looking at it, as you know, when something first comes out, you don't know the impact. Right. But now, yeah. 5 years later, looking back at it, I have no problem with it. It was, hey, if I said something, when I channel, when I see things, when things come up, what's there is there. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes it's freaky. Sometimes it's strange. But they stuck with the facts. I have no problem with it with that. But I just dealt with Channel 10, that deception. So all they care about is ratings. And people don't get it. Maybe they don't even care. They can ruin your life. I know people that have taken their lives because of this subject.
Yeah.
Kill themselves.
Yeah.
That's a shame, man. No one should do that. Anyone listening out there, you're going through this, your partner can't talk to you, your family can't talk, whatever. I've been through all of it. Not now. I'm on the other side. But you're going through it, reach out to me. Reach out to someone. Do not keep that to yourself. There is help out there. There's support out there. Find someone good, credible, respectable. Reach out to them. We'll get through this, man. Do not hurt yourself. Don't ever do that. You are loved more than you can imagine. You have a purpose. And when you get on that other side, share that.
That's why we're here. I appreciate all that you're doing and the anxiety for some people about not knowing if they can come forward is changing. There are more people now. This is what disclosure is really about. It isn't about the government saying, yes, it's real. It's about people coming forward and saying, I know what I saw. This is real. And that's where disclosure happens.
Dr. Greer told me a great quote, and I always reuse it. If the people lead, the leaders will be forced to follow. He told me that in 2011 to my face. And he is right, because now that people are causing a rumbling, whether it's Tucker Carlson leaving Fox, talking about it on his new show now, whatever. He had Gary Nolan on, Rush on. Great. We're going in the right direction. And we are getting to the point where we're having the right people on the right platforms for these things to go viral. And that is behind the scenes. What I've been doing over the last 5 years is connecting and talking to those right people and not forgetting where I came from. For people that are just starting out, don't know, you know, the elbow from the elbow, you know what I mean? They're just, oh, what do? I'm a mess. I remember, I don't forget it because I was there and it's not easy, but there is the other side where now I had this vision years ago that we would be in this exact moment. We're going to get through this. The world is not going to end. If there's a nuclear war, the ETs would show up and shut that shit down in a second, like they did in the Cold War. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. this thing, whatever we're in, the systems, matrix, this thing's been here forever. It's going to keep going on. It's not going to end. It doesn't make sense. People that are powerful, whatever, they have family, they wouldn't do that anyway. We're all in this together. They want to keep us at a low vibration. So you resist by, you get that knowledge, you empower yourself, but then you share. You keep that knowledge, you share that story, you connect with the others, and then eventually, I'm telling you, I've seen the tide turn with the people that were doubting and bashing, and on the other side, those same people, as soon as they lose a relative or a loved one or a coworker, same people are calling me back, oh my God, dude, can you help me? Can you give me a reading? Tell me everything you know. I'm so sorry, I didn't mean that. I get it, man, it's all part of the journey. When you're ready, I'm here. We all get faced with that mortality of the reality of life and death, and when people face that, that's what I've seen the change. People really start to go, whoa, okay, now maybe there's aliens. Now maybe there's life after death. I need to know for sure because I don't want to die. Right? It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing.
The psychicfirefighter.com is the website. And for readings and that, you're available?
Wherever you are, you just click in and you'll see my time, dates. It's based on where you're at. It'll tell you exactly what time and location. Feel free to reach out to me. What I basically do, I will sit and connect people with their deceased loved ones. And anyone, friends, family that are around, I see the signs. I see methods of crossing. I see, you know, people that have experienced miscarriages and all sorts of things. You know, people ask about, like, you know, where are my young children, or I had some miscarriages. Yes, all that stuff is connected. It's all around. And people want to talk about the ET reality and your star family. I can get into all that, too. Some people come. They just want to know about their relatives and people they knew here on Earth. They don't want to get into UFOs. Other people come. They want to know all about it. They want the whole plate. You want the whole plate? I'll give you whatever you want. And then if you think you might have this gift and you don't know what to do, this is very important. I would suggest finding somebody out there that has a long, good, credible background in this and watch them. Go on YouTube, follow them, look around. And if you feel that you're resonating with what they're saying and you could be mentored by them or track them down or you want to train with them, I would advise that don't go through this alone. Find the others. They're out there waiting for you, okay? Be picky, be selective. If you meet them, duck jobs, weed them out, keep going. But if you could be guided with someone that has more experience, like I was, you know, 14 years ago, oh my God, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for my teachers. I went to that different level and said, hey, I want to do the work. I'll do it. And I'm still doing it. It just changes. The work is different now. It never ends, though. So it's not easy, but it is so worth it. We had to make a phone call. I could talk to my mom about UFOs. I could talk to you, talk to anyone out there listening. If you go to my website, I have my footage there, all my sightings. If you go to any social media, the Psychic Firefighter or Andrew Razowitz, I'm on every social media app. Feel free to DM me or email me. If you'd like to book a session, feel free to reach out to me. If you need any more info or you want to have me, you know, on your show or whatever, same thing. Feel free to reach out. I love going on shows and talking to people. It's so important that we spread this beautiful message wherever we are in the world. I love, especially when it's somewhere else or another country. I'm in Australia right now, but I love reconnecting with people in the States and London and wherever. It's amazing. So thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
The psychicfirefighter.com is the website.
I'll put links in the description for the show. And thank you for listening.